Amen. So I'll open our Bibles to Matthew 23:13. If we'd stand to our feet for the reading of the Word. Matthew 23, verse 13. And but woe unto you, scribes, that means men learned in scriptures, and Pharisees, hypocrites. Well, what is a hypocrite? It's an actor on stage of life, playing the role of something that they're not. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. In other words, you bar the entrance into the kingdom of heaven before men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither are you permitting others who are desiring to enter to go in. And also from Romans chapter 1, and reading from verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unright wiseness of men who hold the truth in unright wiseness. And the word hold here was translated from the Greek word kateko, which means to hold down or to hold it back or to keep it from moving forward. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word this morning, knowing that you are the word. And as the Apostle Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we know that word substance was translated from the Greek word hypostasis, which actually is the same word that says that Jesus Christ was the image of the person, of your person. And so we realize that faith is the person, as our brother brought out this morning. And so, Father, we realize that faith is not in things. We don't have faith in things, but we have faith in people. And the reason why we can have faith that the light switch works is because we have faith in the designer of the light switch. And so, Lord, we know there is one here who can turn on the light, and that's you. And so, Father, we come reverently, humbly, approaching thy word this morning, believing that your presence is still here. Your prophet told us that the pillar of fire would lead us to the millennium. I haven't seen any resurrection yet. I haven't seen any body changes. I haven't seen the lions lying down with the lamb. So I believe we're still on the road, Father. And, of course, we know we are. And so, Lord, we just pray that your presence would open to us your word and help us, Lord, to walk in the light as you are in that light. Help us to ever be walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Brother Branham said from the Anointed Ones at the end time, he said, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they're dead and they're gone. And as I brought out last week, you cannot be looking at a message that's 40 years old, 45 years old, even a message of 20 years old. You have to be looking at the message as what is God doing in 2008. What's happening with the elect in 2008? What is the pillar of fire doing as he's leading us through this wilderness of sin, so to speak, on our way to the promise of a body change? What is God doing for me today? What's the date today? The 18th or so of 19th of July. What is God doing for me today? Not what God did 40 years ago, 45 years ago, but what's he doing today? He's the present God. He's the I am. He's not the I was. So you see, for us, it is not what happened. As Brother Branham said, they always miss what God is doing because they're always looking backward at what took place. They're always looking forward to what's going to take place. But they're failing to recognize what God is doing for us today. So you see how important it is for us to continue to walk in the light as He is in the light. Therefore, if the just are to live by faith, then faith is not a thing of the past. But it's an ongoing revelation that takes us step by step into the right wiseness of God Himself. If you walk in the light as He is in the light. Not if you walk in the light as He once was in the light. Because faith is a revelation. It's an unveiling. It's a bringing into open view what is presently set before you. Revelation is not something from days gone by. Revelation is present truth. And from the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Branham said, I am sent me. I am, not I was, not I will be, I am, present tense, the word now. Not the word that was, the word that will come, but the word that's now, see? Now those of you who are most familiar with the way I preach, you notice that I cannot help but to look around at what's happening in the message, and then I take it back to the Alpha because that makes it present tense to me and present tense to you. Although I was a history major in college, I never liked history from the standpoint of just looking back. Because looking back doesn't benefit you unless you can see those things happening now. You look back to only to understand the trends and how things took place and the patterns that repeated themselves every 20 years or so, the cycles that would take place. You know, every 20 years, the white ties come in, they go out, they come in, they go out, the length of the skirts go up and they go down, they go up and they down. It seems like there's cycles that happen. And the generation who fails to remember history is a generation who's doomed to repeat it. And if you ever notice, that is what Brother Branham preached as well. For you see, just to preach a sermon, there's no life in it. But to preach on what you see happening around you and then take it back to the Alpha in order to be able to label it, to identify it, then the word comes alive. It becomes real. It becomes a living word to a living people. In a sermon, the testimony, Brother Branham said, I'm not a preacher. Anybody knows that, I'm not a preacher. But it's made up in a spiritual form of watching things and seeing things move and forewarning people of things that's coming to pass. And it's just that's my makeup. I can't help that, no more than you can help your makeup. But God has put in each of us, He's put us into the one body to do certain things. And I watch every little move, every objective, every motive, because everything is governed by Spirit. That's why He could preach for 33 years, 1,200 sermons. And when you listen to those sermons today, it's still life to you. Because what He saw, He declared by the Word of God. He took it back to the Word. And the Word became a living, visible experience for the people. In a sermon titled, This Day, This Scripture is Fulfilled, Brother Branham said, I watch little things. Just every little thing has a meaning to me. I don't believe that anything happens to a Christian by chance. I believe it's ordained of God, because Jesus said that He'd make all things work together for good to them that loved Him. So therefore, I believe that every little thing in the little humble ministry that He's given to me to help you people, to help everyone, and you all are a help to me, helping each other to get to glory. And in that, every little thing has a meaning to me. You know, we kind of make fun of people that are maybe simple that way, but we ought to be simple that way. Jesus said, unless you be like a child, you'll not enter in. Brother Branham could look at just a little few leaves rustling in the car, in a little circle, and he took that as a whirlwind from God. God touched him by that. You see, we get so arrogant in our minds, we get so intellectual that when God does little things for you, you just say, well, that's just natural, that's just something that's there. But Brother Brown took everything. He looked at everything. He was constantly watching. Pick up a pack of cigarettes, a thinking man's filter. How do you get a message out of a pack of cigarettes? He did. Four little words in the scripture, here, they crucified Him. And he said, what does that mean? Here, the most religious place on earth, they, the most religious people, crucified, the worst kind of death a person could die, Him, the Lord of glory. Everything that we read our Bibles, we read wrong. You know, I remember one sister, she wrote to me, she said, well, I read my Bible three times through and I can't find it. I said, sister, it's in there. I said, you need to learn how to read your Bible. People read their Bible like they're reading a book. Those are the thoughts of God. I have ministers come up to me after the meetings overseas, they say, you know, we've been in this message for 20 years and we just learned today how to read our Bibles. You take the Word of God one thought at a time. Don't take it a whole paragraph, don't take it a whole chapter, just take one thought and think about it. It's how we raised up our girls. we'd have our Bible study, we'd take one thought. Go to the book of Proverbs. The Bible says, a woman without discretion is like the gold ring in the snout of a pig. Okay, kids, what does that mean? What does that mean? And you talk about that one little thought, that one little expression there, and it becomes a living reality. I'll never forget how Brother Brown described the Exodus and how when they were getting ready, the token was applied to the home, the blood was on the doorpost, and how the children, the death angel was coming through. And Brother Brown painted this picture in our minds. He's such a wonderful storyteller. He said, you know, the little children were holding on to their dad's tunic, you know, their coat, and saying, Daddy. They hear that screaming out there and the crying and say, Daddy, are you sure you applied the token? That's how we should be with our children. We should be painting a picture for them to understand that this life here is only temporary. We're just passing through. We're getting ready to go to a land of promise. And today you'll find by the Word of God that we're just about ready to cross the Jordan. And I'm so excited because I see the pillar of fire still in our midst. He's still moving among His people. From Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. That which hath been is now. That which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there. And the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. He said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and for every work. You know, many times we just have no patience for one another because we want everybody to be like us. You know, we want everybody to, you know, be, well, we're in the same camp. You know, we all got to say the same thing. I'm sorry, brother, sister, but we're not all the same. You look outside, you see a variety of trees and flora out there. God makes us all different for a purpose, but we all have the same Father, and that's what counts. I can look at your children, I look at my children. Their personalities are just as different as night and day from each other. But they have the same mama, the same daddy. You see? So God makes us different. He doesn't want a bunch of cookie cutters, everybody coming out the same. He wants us to be walking in the light with Him, holding His hand. So we see then that everything comes in cycles. That which has been is now. And the discerning eye will watch as things develop, to see what direction those things will go. That is what Brother Brown told Brother Vail in his audio tape. He said, would it be, you think, advisable in here to say that God then, in order to proclaim this, has to send a prophet in order to inject this, to make this real again, to show the people the hour that we're living? Because if they only see it in the hour past, there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends His prophet to manifest present tense of it. You see, and then after it's over, then history is. Now you might inject that, Brother Lee. I don't know whether that's any good or not, but it's just a thought right there. Thanks a lot. I think it's a wonderful thought. Because that's the problem that the church got itself into. Everybody's always looking back. Always looking forward. But they're failing to recognize, what is God doing today, 2008? What is going on? The pillar fire is still here. What's God doing? What's this pillar fire doing? What's happening to the church? Where are we along our status and state? Where are we along in our place toward adoption? Now, Brother Branham was a very humble man. And it tells Brother Vail, the answer to walking in the light is to see the Word of God unfolding itself in the present tense. And then he almost apologizes for saying it. That's incredible. Yet that's the key. And his ministry was not made up of one big sermon. His ministry was made up of over 1,200 sermons from 1947 to 1965, where every sermon he preached the Word of God, it became a reality, a living reality. Not just sermonizing. And with each sermon that he spoke, we all took a step forward into the presence of Christ, together with Him. In fact, that is how Brother Branham explains his ministry. He says it's made up by looking around and seeing what's moving and catching the Spirit and taking it back to the Word. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall you appear with Him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, as the brother read from Galatians 2:20 this morning, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not me living. It's Him living Himself through me. And the life I live by the faith, His faith. The faith that Jesus had to go to the cross. As Brother Bram said, God was waiting on Jesus to make up His mind. That message I preached from the faith of Christ from Gethsemane to the cross. I could see where Jesus, He recognized His position. Before the foundations of the world, God had said there would be a lamb slain. And Jesus recognized that role. And Brother Bram said, when Moses had to speak to go forward, he said Moses had to step his foot into the water before the water would part. He said Jesus had to accept that role in Gethsemane. Then the presence of God left him. And he was on his own to walk in that role. And you and I have to find our place in the body of Christ, in the family, because we're a family. We need to find our place. What can we do in the family, for the family, for our brothers and sisters? In fact, Brother Bram said just one more time, he said, man is always thinking back on what God did and looking forward to what God will be doing, but he's ignoring what God is doing now. And he also said in his audio letter to Brother Bell, if they only see it in the hour past, there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends His prophet to manifest present tense of it. And he also said from false anointed ones at the end time, he said, I am sent me, not I was, not I will be. I am present tense, the word now, not the word that was or the word that will come, but the word that's now. And he also said in paragraph 233, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass. They're dead, they're gone. What about those people who sat there and attended Brother Branham's meetings 45 years ago? They're so focused on the man that when God, the pillar of fire, listen, we all understand that the first Exodus, God sent a prophet. God anointed the prophet. God's presence was there, vindicating the prophet. There was miraculous signs, wonders. God gave the prophet the purpose and plan of an Exodus to come out. They came out of an organized system of bondage, where the people were in bondage to the system. God said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you, and you'll be a people unto me. So the people come out under the prophet. But then God takes the prophet off the scene. What happens? God Himself didn't leave the scene. The same pillar of fire that took him out is the same pillar of fire that led him in under a teaching ministry. A ministry that placed the people positionally in the word, the promise for that day under Joshua. Brother Bram said, Joshua parallels Ephesians. So then God comes down in the second Exodus, the pillar of fire, comes into the prophet. First time with the prophet, reflecting from the prophet. Next time in the prophet, reflecting out, expressing Himself through the prophet Jesus. The mighty miracles are there showing that no man could do those things. It was God Himself. Giving him the purpose, the plan for a second Exodus. Coming out of organized religion. Under law. Coming out of law. Coming out of, out from under legalism, where everything you did, people, you know, look at you. If you picked up a stick on the Sabbath day, they'd want to take you in and throw you a thrashing. And God brought him out from that system, that organized religion. And then God took his prophet off the scene. But the pillar of fire remained on the scene. The problem is that the people there in Jerusalem, the brethren that were with him, they hunted with him. They fished with him. All they could think about was the man. So when God anoints another ministry, a teaching ministry, they all say, no, we're waiting for the return ministry of the man. And they fail to recognize the return ministry of the pillar of fire, teaching and positionally placing the people through Paul, a teacher to the Gentiles. You think it changed any in the third Exodus? God came down on a river, just like He did on the river Jordan when Jesus was baptized. God came down, anointed a prophet, brought many signs and wonders showing that God Himself was here. brought the people out of organized religion, only to take that prophet off the scene. But the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, remained on the scene, anointing a teaching ministry. And as you all know, I said, Brother Vail, I said, could I say that's you? He said, no, that's the fivefold ministry. He said, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He said, when I'm gone, people are going to say, well, there's no more teaching. He said, the Holy Spirit's a teacher. And as long as the Holy Spirit is here, they'll be teaching. You see, the Holy Spirit is still here, brothers, sisters. The pillar of fire is leading us to the millennium. We can rejoice in sitting in those meetings in the 80s and 90s. And it was like life. Everything was exploding. Everything was just becoming wonderful. You could see the reality of a living God in the presence. You go back to Brother Branham 20 years before that. The same thing. You could see the same thing. And I'm telling you today, it's the same. All around the world, I see brothers are just so excited to know that God is still on the scene. To know that they are sons because there was a son who set the example for us as sons. So that we could step into that pattern, step into our role as sons. And see the living God in our midst. A living reality of a living God. Preparing a people for going home. That's why it's so important to understand the Alpha and Omega principle that Brother Branham laid out for us. He said that this was the very first principle he learned as a Christian. What God did in the first age, he is obligated to do in this last age. Then if we can look at what God did in the first age under the pillar fire ministry of Paul, and what he did and how he did it, we will see how he has done the same ministry in this hour. First a prophet, then teaching. Under the same pillar of fire. The same way he did in the first Exodus. Same way he did in the second Exodus. Same way he's doing today. Positionally placing the people in the family of God. Now, to me, what Brother Branham said concerning the Bible is a daily experience for you and in your walk with Christ. If you believe every word that he said what comes from God. Now, I do. And therefore, this word is a living reality of the presence of the present tense God who is the I Am. From the message Shalom, Brother Branham said, now the same word that was reflected in Moses could not be reflected in Elijah because that was another day. The same word that was reflected in Noah could not be in Moses because, see, Noah built an ark. Moses led a people just exactly what he promised. The same light was reflected in one, wasn't in the other, but one told of the other. And all the New Testament speaks of this hour. Jesus Christ speaks of this hour. Who is it then? Some man? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, manifesting, reflecting the light on the word that he promised for this day. When men see you living like him, when they see your character, your conduct with the word just exactly like he was, the word being manifested, then men will see Jesus Christ. They won't have to look around anywhere else and say, what does this creed teach? What does this creed teach? They'll know that God is, they'll know what God is when they see you. Now that is because you have become the living expression of the living Word of God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall phaneru, shall manifest in his true character, then shall you also manifest in your true character with him in glory, with him in the same doxa, with him in the same opinion, the same values, the same judgment that he had. And that's exactly 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we sons of God. But it won't appear yet, doesn't appear yet, what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, when he shall manifest in his true character, we'll manifest in our true character as sons. Because we see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. By seeing him as he truly is, you can see who you truly are. Not just some church member told to get in line by some preacher, some deacon board, but you're a son of the living God, fashioned and created in the image of Christ. And you're being conformed to the image of the eldest son in a vast family of brethren. From Christ identified in the same, Brother Branham said, he was the manifestation of God. He was God in Christ. Reconciling the world to himself. He was expressing what the Father was in himself. He said, I do always that which pleases the Father. I and the Father are one. The Father dwells in me. When you see me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he expressed God. The Spirit so much in him that he and the Father, and it wasn't robbery for him to be the same person. Oh, brother. Why do you think they thought Brother Branham was God? It wasn't robbery for him to to express the same person. He said, when you see me, you see him. You're looking at me, aren't you? From investments, Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ was the expressed image of God. He was what God, through His power, projected. A body which was called Son, because He was a man. And He come from God. And He was so committed to God, till He didn't think it robbery that Him and God, being the same person. And they were, because God was the Word. And He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And there's where God could take His Word without anything, any interpretation. He was constantly doing what the Father wanted done. And there the Word could work through Him there, till Him and the Father became one. That's what. And then He took that perfect life and all of our sins and placed it upon the perfect life, and He died that we renegades could die to ourselves and be born from above. And His Word could work through us the works of God. What's He want? He wants you to just get out of the way. God wants your body. He wants to live through you. He wants to express Himself to the world through you. From identification, Brother Branham said, "Now, but when he seen that his creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ. God's own character of love projected himself in the man Christ." As Paul speaking here, thinking it not robbery, but making himself equal to God, rather. See, his own character molded that kind of a person. Oh, no one could ever do that but God. This was done so that he could pay the penalty of the fall for his creation. See? There must be something to save this creation, and nothing could save it because the high species of his creation had fallen, and everything under it fell with it because it fell. How many remember when Brother Vail brought out, I don't remember the scripture exactly at this point, but where it said, "Behold my servant," and he talked about how he was a prisoner basically to God. And how he only wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And he only, you know, he's blind to everything else. He was deaf to everything else except for what God wanted him. That's what God wants from you and me. Jesus said, "My meat is to do his will, the will of him that sent me." He said, "The things that I do, the Father shows me what to do. The things that I say," said the Father, "commands me what to say. Not my doctrine, but the doctrine of him that sent me." That's all. That's simple. Don't do unless God shows you through his word how to live, conduct your life. Don't speak unless you have the words of God to speak. Words uplifting to one another, not tearing down. Let go of your own will, your own ambitions. And let the mind that was in Christ take over your vessel. And you'll see Jesus Christ again, living in flesh. In his people. Thinking it not robbery to be equal, to be the same person. Because God wants, like Brother Branham said, he wants to borrow my body. I'll loan it to him. I'll give it to him. Anything he wants. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm being like a poured out drink offering to the Lord. That's what God is looking for. Vessels to pour himself through. And you talk about harmony. Between sons. When you have the same mind of your Father. Oh, hallelujah. It's just. So God came into Christ to reconcile the world back to himself. God was manifest in the flesh of his Son to take away your sin, my sin. To offer back to God the perfect life. The perfect sacrifice. His own life living out itself in the body of his Son. From Christ is the mystery God revealed. Brother Branham said, Moses, his intellectuals, he had to lose them in order to find Christ, to be a prisoner. Then when God got all of that world beat out of him, and all the mighty man that he was, and standing in the presence of the pillar of fire that day, he was found just speechless. He couldn't even talk. He said, God had a prisoner then. See? You won't try after your own searching. Then God had to endow him with power enough that he could go down there. And he said, Lord, I told Pharaoh just what you told me to tell him, and he wouldn't do it. He said, then take this rod, thy rod, God speaking, that's God's word, Go out there and point it toward the east and call for flies, and flies came into existence. Because he had a prisoner that Pharaoh couldn't pay off with nothing. Nobody else could turn him, no way. He was a complete prisoner in the chains of God's word, bound up wholly to thus saith the Lord. Oh, if God can ever get his prisoners like that. Now that's when he can express himself, the preeminence, you see. He's got the man or the person, so he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean, all right. That's secondly. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence is by this in his church, which is called his body, his bride, so that he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. And right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin, by the first Adam, back to where he could walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening with his people. Talk with them, fellowship with them, if you're walking in the light, as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't worry about your little mistakes. When your little child poops their pants, do you worry about that child? Well, she's not my child. No, you say, come here, child, we'll clean it up. You don't disown a child because they make mistakes. Because when they try to walk, they fall. You reach down and with a helping hand and you love them. And you pull them into you. And maybe if they get hurt when they're trying to walk and they fall, then you just pick them up and you carry them. You embrace them. It's like little Sarah said when her sister Rebecca said, well, I've got all of Daddy. But she said, but Daddy's got all of me. That's what this is all about. From harvest time, Brother Ram said, Jesus said, that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It'll never work. One denomination wants to take over the other. One man over the other. But that you might be one with God like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. He was the Word. And Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting Him. That's His prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples that up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer, that all might be congregated together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do it, they get further and further away from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. And each individual in his heart must be that one with God. And from show us the Father, Brother Brown said, now it's many times been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible said so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. He said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see my Father. In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, the immortal virgin born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. See? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Look. We all got our own attitudes. We all got our own thinking, you know. Jesus didn't. Not my attitude be done. Not my will be done. Thy will be done. Not my what I want to express to you because I'm kind of ticked off at you for whatever you did. No, it's, Father, how do you want to express yourself to this person? Let me get out of the way. Because if I get out of the way, maybe there's life. When Hattie Wright got out of the way, she said, it's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. He said, ask what you will. That third pole will come into effect. Every time the third pole was manifested to us, what was it? Life. Hattie Wright's children, life. Squirrels, life. The fish, life. The spoken word, life. Get yourselves out of the way. You try too hard. Learn to let go, let God. That's what I appreciate about Brother Vail. First time I remember going out to visit him, staying at his home. I asked him about certain things, and he kind of used some words that my holy little virtuous ears got pinned back. And I thought, that was rough. And because he used some words, that language that, you know, just, well, of course, you know, I was holy. Never heard those things in the message. My dad used to say those things, but I never heard that in the message. Well, I went to bed that night, and I'm praying. I'm thinking, you know, this man. What about this man? And something spoke to me and said, every single prophet of God was considered a crank. Every single prophet of God was considered crusty. But they were real. They were real people that had a real revelation. They could talk to God. God talked back to them. Would you rather be all polished up like the Pharisees and not be able to talk with God, have Him talk back? Or how about just be yourself? Be who you are by the grace of God. Now, I'm getting back to our thoughts on the present tense living word becoming a reality to the people who have been made alive by the living word. When Brother Branham said, all the New Testament speaks of this hour, he meant it. Then I cannot view it as a history of an age gone by, but rather as a living word for a living people. We must see the Word of God in the light of the hour in which we live. For if we see them only in 2,000-year-old perspective, there's no life in that. But to see the Word in the present tense, it brings them alive. It gives us hope. It gives us an understanding of the day in which we live. For God is the present tense God, not the God of past ages. He said, I am that I am, not I was that I was. He's a living God. And if this be so, then His Word will come alive in our lives if we've been made alive in Him. From identification, Brother Brown said, he's not a dead founder like Muhammad or Buddha or some other of the cults. He's a living, present tense, now resurrected Jesus. He's alive forevermore and can never die no more. And has given to us eternal life and has presented Himself among us. And we, Lord, reflecting His grace to others, help us, Father, as You promised in the last days that would happen, just like it was in the days of Lot. What did Brother Brown say? When the life that was in Christ, when He died on the cross, that spirit in that blood cell was released back upon the church. What's that life producing in you? What is that life expressing in you? Or are you too thick-skulled to just let go and let God? From the absolute, Brother Ramsey, Moses had that absolute. Paul had that same absolute, the same pillar of fire, the same Holy Spirit, the same God. Not the I was, but the I will. Or the I will, but the I am. Present tense, always. From God's only provided place of worship, Brother Ramsey, the Lutherans under justification, the feet raised it like that. Wesley under sanctification, the Pentecostals under the arms, the works and deeds and so forth had to be Calvinist, or had to be Arminian, had to be legalist. But now we come to the head, the capstone, grace, grace, the capstone cried. The headstone crying what? Grace, grace, pass from death and creed into the living word of the living God. God's only provided plan for this age, His sons in the word age, quickened by the Spirit like a spark that's lit off something to make it alive, and seated now in heavenly places in present tense, already alive and subject to every promise in the word. You know, there's 800 promises in your Bible. A few years ago, we gave every family in here a copy of a book that had all the promises in the Bible. I hope you're reading them. I hope you're holding God to His Word, because Brother Brown said those promises are seeds. All they need to do is be watered. And you water the seed, it's going to manifest. Seated now in heavenly places, in present tense, already alive and subject to every promise in the Word. Then what does that do for you? You being a part of God's gene, a part of the Word, other men a part of God's Word, seated together, manifest the entire body of Christ, because there's no leaven among you. See? See what it's talking about, Brother Brown? No leaven among you, just the Word, seated in heavenly places, in the door where He put His name, Christ Jesus. No leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Couldn't do it in Luther's age, couldn't do it in Wesley's age, couldn't do it in Pentecostal age, but in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, revealed, brought back, the church together with the entire deity of God amongst His people, showing the same visible signs, manifesting Himself like He did at the beginning when He was manifested on earth in the form of a prophet, God. Oh, glory. Promised by Malachi 4, promised by the rest of the Scriptures. Where are you at? The house of God, seated in present tense. From the masterpiece. Brother Bram said, Father God, Thy Word is a lamp. The light that lights the path of every believer into the presence of God as it carries us like a lantern in our hand. You've not provided enough that we should see the end from the beginning. You know, when you take on that path, you walk out with that lantern, you don't see the end of the path. What do you see, Adam? You got that lantern in front of you? You see the end of the path? You see the end of your destination? You see one step at a time. And Brother Brown says here, he says, "Thy word is a lamp, the light that lights the path of every believer into the presence of God, as it carries us like a lantern in our hand, in your hand. You've not provided enough that we should see the end from the beginning. And I walk with faith, but as a man would travel through a dark forest at night," and that's where we are, "the light that he holds only provides step by step." Hallelujah. If you walk in the light, as he is in, present tense, the light. "But the path, though leading upward, just walk with the light. And may the light shine today upon the word to lead us one step further to the kingdom of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen." Everybody wants instant pudding, instant gratification, instant wealth, instant this, instant that. And nobody's happy. Let's learn to walk one day at a time. Like the song says, you know, one day at a time, dear Jesus. One day at a time. So you see, that's the key right there. If we're walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son cleanses us from all sin. The problem I see in this message is that many who claim to believe it no longer see it with the eyes of present tense. But it has already become a history to them. There is no revival fire down in their soul because the word is not alive in them. Oh, they've identified with certain men. They've taken their camp with Brother Branham. They've taken camps with Brother Vale or different ministries. And the light keeps moving on. The light keeps moving on. The presence of God keeps moving on. 2 million people followed Moses. 2 million people died. Brother Vale said, "If you're following me, you're going to die right here. You better get the same word that Brother Vale had in his heart." Why could that man preach a word that became alive to you? Because it was alive to him. Yes. And that word is still alive. The revival fire has burned down and is gone because they've stopped walking in the light. What about those poor people that were following Moses and God took Moses? How about the people that were close to Aaron? God took care. You see, God's not going to let any man get between you and him if you're his. You follow the light, as Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So who are you following? Paul or Christ? You're following Paul as he follows Christ. Listen, my friends. Those who are old enough to remember the revival fire that they felt when Brother Branham's ministry was here, do you still have that fervor for the word that you did back then? Did you still have that expectation that you had then? And what about those of you who attended those wonderful meetings with Brother Vale when he was breaking down the teaching of Brother Branham word by word, and the word was coming alive to you, and you felt the very presence of God? Do you remember the revival in your heart you felt as that word opened up to you in the way that you had not had it since Brother Branham was on the scene? Well, I have news for you. That same pillar of fire is still leading the elect. And he will not leave us here without taking us to the millennium. So just because that revival fire may be just a smoking ember of memory to you, it does not mean that the revival fires have burned out for others. I'm going to tell you something. Paul, you know this as a witness. You go overseas. Those brothers overseas have a burning fire. There's a true revival going on. And I see the churches over here just about dead. Complacent. Instead of preaching on the doctrine of Christ and leading the people into knowing their position in Christ, they're beginning to nitpick, you know, and look for, "Oh, that person's dress is too long. We're going to preach on dresses. Oh, you've got an ankle brace on your foot. I'm going to preach on ankle braces. Oh, you're not eating the right food. I'm going to preach on that for..." I'm going to tell you something. We need to be preaching on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Feeding on the manna, which is falling from heaven. Get your eyes off the physical things. Get your eyes on what God is here to do. I know, because the same word is living and coming alive to thousands around the world, because the same teacher, the Holy Spirit, is still in our midst. Brother Bell has told me on many occasions, he said, Brian, people are saying that when I'm gone, the teaching is over. But he said, that's not true. He said, as long as the Holy Spirit's here, there'll be teaching because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. As I mentioned last week, the three exoduses. I mentioned it today, three exoduses. Prophet, pillar of fire. Teacher, pillar of fire. You've got a coming out, you've got to have a going in. God has not left us behind, brothers. Oh, you know, they were looking in the men, like I said, the fish with Jesus. You know, they were looking for the man to return. Well, the man is going to return. But they failed to recognize what God had in between. And like Brother Vail said, you know, people can be looking for Brother Brown to come back, but if they fail to recognize that message, the shout, he said, there are going to be a lot of people surprised because they won't be part of it. Always looking forward. Always looking back. Failing to recognize, what is God doing today? What's He doing right now? Brother Bram said, Joshua, that great warrior, anointed of God, positioned, placed into the land, like Ephesians to the new church, possessing the land, taking it over. From Ephesians parallels Joshua, he said, now the book of Ephesians, as I was just saying, to my opinion, is one of the greatest books of the New Testament. It leaves us on where Calvinism runs out on a limb and Arminianism runs out on the other limb. But the book of Ephesians draws it together and positions places a church. Now, I've typed it with Joshua. If you notice, Israel was brought up out of Egypt, and there's three stages of the journey. One stage was leaving Egypt. The next stage was the wilderness, and the next stage was Canaan. Again, he said, did you ever notice Moses, that great miracle performer that brought down Israel out of down through the land and brought them up to the promised land, but did not place their inheritance to them? He did not give them their inheritance. He led them up to the land, but Joshua divided the people. So you see how God uses a ministry through the supernatural, so you know it's God. Gives them the purpose and plan. Then one who takes that purpose and plan brings the people in, positionally places the people. Same Holy Spirit, same pillar of fire, just a different person, a different operation. Same light, lights this, lights that there, lights this microphone, lights this little computer here. The same energy, working all in all, just a different operation. But the same Holy Spirit, working all in all. Now getting back to the masterpiece, Brother Brown said, Father God, thy word is a lamp, the light that lights the path of every believer into the presence of God, as it carries us like a lantern in our hand. You've not provided enough that we should see the end from the beginning, and I walk with faith. But as a man would travel through a dark forest at night, and that's where we are, the light that he holds only provides step by step. But the path, though leading upward, just walk in the light, and may the light shine today upon the word to lead us one step further to the kingdom of God. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. So notice the light that we hold in our hands only provides light for us step by step. So that's what I would like to focus our attention on this day. Brother Ram speaks here of God's light as only providing enough for us to take each step. After he said God has not provided enough light for us to see the end from the beginning. So Brother Ram is speaking of walking in the light step by step. Therefore the light that God gives us is not one big dose that will see you all the way through. The light that He gives us is not enough to last you from birth to manifested son. But it's like eating. You must eat every day to keep your energy level at a certain level. And if you try eating just one meal a day, by the end of the day, you're dragging. They've not developed a system whereby man can eat one big feast and live on it the rest of his life. And neither has God made one big feast for us to eat from and then live on it for the rest of our lives. I heard a minister one time boasting how that, well, he says, well, bless God, I haven't changed my preaching in 40 years. Well, I'm sorry for that man because he's lost. He's dead. He's done dried up. And so have the people that he pastors, because revelation is progressive just as life is progressive. You do not start out as a fully grown individual. You start out as a babe. And then you grow cell by cell. And the body grows cell by cell. And as you eat the food, it breaks down and feeds the blood. And the blood feeds the cells. And the cells get nourished. And they grow. And the body grows and gets strength and energy from the nourishment that you take into the body. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if this man has not changed his diet in 40 years, then he's not growing spiritually in those 40 years. Because revelation is progressive. And we should be growing and changing from image to image and from glory to glory. And if you're not changing, you can be but one thing, and that's dead. Dead men don't grow. And they don't increase, except if they be bloated after a few days of death. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, were changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now the Apostle Paul told us here that when we are looking into the mirror of the Word, we're changed into the image that we see in the Word, which is Christ, who is our light. And then he tells us that we are changed from image to image and from glory to glory. And we know that this glory was translated from the Greek word doxa, which means we're changed from opinion to opinion, from assessment to assessment, values to values. You teach your children your values. That's what God's teaching us through His Word. You teach your children to have your opinions. That's what God's teaching us through His Word. You teach your children to make the right judgments. That's what God is doing through His Word. We're changed from glory to glory, from opinion to opinion, judgment to judgment, value to value. You see? Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now therefore, if this man claims to never have been changed, or changed his preaching in 40 years, it's very apparent that he's still a oneness. And furthermore, if we are all to be changed, which is our hope, and we receive our transformation by the renewing of our mind, then there is no transformation for this man and all those who think just like him. Well, bless God, I talked to the prophet. Bless God, I walked with the prophet. Bless God, I even hunted with the prophet. Yes, and 2 million people walked with Moses and talked with Moses. And they're everyone dead. And Brother Bram said, that's eternally separated from God. God's not interested in who you once walked with. He's interested in who you're walking with now. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, that's it. Enoch had this testimony. He pleased God. God liked to walk with him. And God took him up. That's what God's interested in. Ephesians 4:11 tells us, and it gave some to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And it seems to me that there are five here, not just one or two. And why did He give these gifts to the church? He says, for the perfecting of the saints. That's the maturing, the finishing off of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what is the edifying of the body of Christ? It's building up, not tearing down. Until we all come in the unity of the faith, not just faith, the faith. And there's only one faith, one Lord. The faith is that one Lord. It's a revelation of that one Lord. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And notice He says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So unless you're teaching a knowledge of the Son of God, you're not one of these gifts that He's placed in the church. Unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and the purpose of having a knowledge of the Son of God is so that you're not tossed about. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In Romans 12:2, Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, that acceptable, that perfect will of God. What do you mean, prove it? I like the NIV translation. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is your reasonable act of worship. What is worship? What is sacrifice? It's giving back to God what He's already revealed to you to give. And He wants our bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our perfect, reasonable service. Again, in Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now, the evidence that you have put on the new man is that you have been renewed in the knowledge of Him. But what if you have not been renewed in the mind, like this preacher that I heard? Then what? The Apostle Paul further said in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, to renew does not mean to make... To renew does not mean to make new again. The Greek word that was used here means to renovate, reform. And we do not renovate something unless It has become worn out and need of repair. And we do not reform unless someone, unless that person needs a change of the mind from which was corrupted to a place where they think right. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. So we're told in Hebrews 6 that those who fall away from the once for all enlightenment, that it's impossible to renew them again. If they fall away, to renew them again under repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Therefore, what we must conclude from the reading of the Scripture is that if a man claims to not have changed, and claims that he's been preaching the same thing for 40 years, and by now it's probably been 50 years or more, because I heard that person many years ago, then to not change shows that you're either dead or you cannot change. Or you've crystallized your thinking, like Lot's wife, who crystallized her thinking, she became a pillar of salt. Or the third conclusion we would have to make concerning that person that cannot change is that they have turned down the once for all enlightenment, as Apostle Paul said. For it is impossible for they which shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now notice he said that they could not renew them to repentance. And we know that repentance is a change of the mind. So these are not capable of renewing their mind. So what does that tell you about their character? It tells you that they have crucified to themselves the Word of God afresh. So you see, I would not want to be in that man's shoes at the White Throne Judgment. Not for one moment. Why? Because he's admitting by his statement that he has crucified the Word of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now you might say, brother, those are strong words. Well, this same man who claimed to have never changed also called the parousia of Christ puke, which I don't know how you could call the presence of Jesus Christ anything other than glorious and wonderful. Therefore, in the natural, where we must eat every day to keep our energy, God has made us in the spiritual to eat from the tree of life on a daily basis to keep up our spiritual energy. There's an old expression that says, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And that's W-E-A-K. And if you did not eat in the natural for 7 days, you'd become very weak in your body. And 7 days without prayer and the bread of life would weaken your spirit and your soul. So when we hear Brother Branham say the light that he holds only provides step by step, but the path though leading upward, just walk with the light. And may the light shine today upon the word to lead us one step further to the kingdom of God. And these words still have meaning today, 43 years later. Now remember when the pillar of fire was first on the scene, the people walked in the light. When it moved and when it stopped for a certain time, they stopped with it. And why is that? Because if they didn't move when it moved, it would leave them behind. And if they kept walking when it stopped, they would have walked out from the presence of God like Cain walked out from the presence of God. So the light represents the presence of the living God. And where there is the most light coming forth from a ministry is where the Spirit of God is working at present. Brother Val used football terms like that when he talked about, he said, the man has the ball, you're supposed to block for him, not trying to take the ball away. And when you see God is moving in a certain ministry and you see that ministry moving on with God, then get behind it and walk with it in the light of the glorious presence of the living God. What would have happened to the people if they had stopped walking forward when God took Aaron off the scene? When God took Moses off the scene? You see, the people still moved forward under the same pillar of fire. And those who did entered into the promise for their hour, and they were positionally placed, and that is what God is still doing today. He's still moving forward. We think, oh, what could God do without brother so-and-so? Well, let me tell you, he would still do the same thing that he's doing now. You see, God don't need me. He don't need Brother Vail. He don't need Brother Branham. Because if Brother Branham didn't do it, God would have had somebody else to do it. If Brother Vail didn't do it, God would have had somebody else to do it. The fact is, God ordained them to do it. Brother Branham said from why little Bethlehem, he said, tell me you, brother, no matter who you are, you want to know how important you are? I said to my little girl, stick your finger in a bucket of water and pull it out and try to find the hole. We are nothing. There's only one that's important, and that's God. Just remember that. He's the one. And from influence, he said, listen, be conscious of how of your littleness, who you are. Stick your finger in a bucket of water and pull it out and find the hole that you put your finger in. Then say, that was me. You see, you're nothing. You'll not be missed. After a little while, after you're gone, they'll have a funeral procession out there, and that's all. But your influence is what will live on and on and on. So let's move on with the pillar of fire that's leading us. And remember, Brother Brown told us that God only gives us enough light for a step-by-step walking in the presence of that light. Notice he tells us the light only provides for a step-by-step, but then he adds, just walk with the light. So if you're going to walk with the light, then the light has to be walking as well. And John tells us, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and a bonus, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all your sin, past, present, future. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then shall we see face to face. And now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I'm known. Again in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, a change in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. And the Apostle John said, beloved, now are we sons of God. Not going to be. We are already. Finally, Brother Bram tells us from trumpet gives an uncertain sound. He said, and by word, by step, you'll possess everything that God promised for you. For all things are possible to him that ride on it. Ride on his promise, for it's certain to bring you to the camp. It'll bring you to the presence of God. Just listening to the promises we have from God, for as it was in the first Exodus, so is he the same. And we're fixing to cross over into that other dimension one of these days, just like Israel was about to cross over the Jordan. I'd like to read from the from Deuteronomy chapter 11, from the NIV, and listen to these words, how wonderful these words are. Verse 16, be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce. And you will soon perish on the good land the Lord is fixing to give you. Fix these words of mine in your heart and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord God swore to give to your fathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all of his ways and to hold fast to him, then the Lord God will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place, now listen to this, every place where you set your foot will be yours. So as you go through the scripture, every divine promise of God that you come across, it's yours. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the deserts to Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea. No man will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing is if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commandments of the Lord your God and turn away from the way that I command you today by following other gods, which ye have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings and on Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan, west of the road, toward the setting of the sun, near the great tree of Morah, in the territory of the Canaanites, living in the Arabah, in the vicinity of Gilgal. You are about to cross the river Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you have taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws that I'm setting before you this day. Chapter 12. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. You are not to do as we do here this day, every man as he sees fit, since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you. But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land of the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and he will give you rest from all your enemies around you, that you will live in safety. Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifice, your tithes, your special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. Well, where did God place his name? In his son. And where did he place his name? What is the whole host of heaven? What is the whole family of heaven named? Jesus. Jesus. From end time seed sign. The man who knows not where he goes, he stumbles. And you said we were children of the light. We should know where we're going, step by step, and packing the light. And from why people are so tossed about, Brother Brown said, now, what do we do? We stay in the glory. Walk in the light. Walk step by step with Him, ever holding to His everlasting hand, eternal blessing of God resting with you, knowing this assurance that God will not promise anything that He cannot do. You see? So keep walking on, step by step. As God walks, you walk. And move on with Him. If the people had stopped when Moses, the prophet, died, that they would never have crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. And if the people had stopped when William Branham, prophet of God, died, then they too will have never crossed over into the promises of God. So we must keep moving on with the word. Brother Brown said, from anointed ones, for it is impossible for they which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word of God as it come to pass, they're dead and they're gone. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you because you're the living God. You are the I Am. And Father, we just commit our walk from here forth. Help us, Lord, day by day, step by step, to walk, Father, keeping our eyes on you. And as we walk in the light, as you are in the light, we know it brings us into fellowship. And we know, Father, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our stupidity. And so we just commit our walk into thy keeping in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, and blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
And may God bless you all. See you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.